Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Chipper is here on this now rainy Monday. They have played 6 games. Can we say in assessing this team, the idea that this team is going to, let's go with this cliche, do damage in the playoffs is over?
I would say if on the confidence meter, it's not very high right now.
No,
not very high. And obviously we can talk about the quarterback situation and everything that's happened there and the injuries, but the defense is the most surprising thing to me.
Correct.
I mean, we were talking about the run defense up until last week and how porous it's been and inconsistent. I mean, they hadn't given up a lot of points, but then yesterday it was an explosive plays through the air. So I thought this was going to be a Brian Flores top five defense this year, and they just have not they haven't been up to the standard.
It's much more complicated than this. But football, if someone makes the argument, says this is what football's about, big plays and winning the turnover battle, it normally works almost every game. And they're -2 yesterday. And you're right, on the big plays, Hurts tried 5 passes over 20 yards. He was 5 of 5 for 215 yards, whereas the Vikings are in the red zone 6 times and get 1 touchdown. Because sometimes it doesn't live up to the big play because it's not, you know, 65 yards a run or throw. But sometimes when it's 3rd and 13 from the 15-yard line and you need a touchdown, that's a big play. And they just, outside of the Bengals game, they just have not been consistent in any way this year on big plays.
Yeah, and O'Connell's, you know, talks quite often about explosives, right? I mean,
yes,
that's something his offense is kind of predicated on. We've seen that, throwing the ball down the field to Addison and Jefferson, and that's those are just, as he said, those are backbreaking. And we saw it time and again yesterday where you felt like the defense had put themselves in an advantageous spot where it's 3rd and long.
Yeah.
And Hurts rolls out and makes a completion. And all of a sudden, it's like, those are so deflating. And you give, I don't say any offense, but, an offense that has him and some playmakers, you give them extra opportunities like that, they're going to make you pay. And, the first touchdown, you get a bad matchup on Brown there. Isaiah Rodgers is, the second one, the deep one to the 70 whatever yard touchdown was.
Yep.
He's been so good, but he just got beat there.
Dante
Smith just beat him.
You're right.
So it was a little bit of everything, and I don't know. As it goes along, I assume we just have to say the personnel's not. I don't think it's scheme. I don't think they're trying to do too much because we you know, they prided themselves on being a defense that can be adaptable and you know, different looks and disguises. I just don't know if their personnel is playing to the standard that they need to play.
I think that's it. And I'll just pick up on that Brown play because somebody retweeted it today. And you watch that play. First of all, when he comes in motion, Metellus should slide to the tight end and Rodgers should slide over. Okay. Then you watch it and it's like Brown initially is absolutely not part of the play. I mean, he basically stops his route. He just, he's standing there for like a second and a half. And then as Hurts comes that way, he takes off and he doesn't have the Devontae speed, but he's faster than Metellus. And they loft, and that's a play, and you're right on the third downs. So I brought this up earlier because, you know, a lot of people now list the snap counts. I didn't hear about a Javon Hargrave injury, but I know I saw this, 18 snaps. What's I mean, he was highly praised. A lot of people around the league said, if healthy, he's going to be a problem. They want to get some inside pass rush, you know, when they had – the other guys from last year, they were better against the run, but they felt like they were relying too much on Gennard and Van Ginkle for the outside pass rush, and he was very good in that Bears game. Since then, he's vanished.
Yeah, and I don't he's not on the injury report. I don't think he has been, to my knowledge. I didn't realize it was that few snaps. I didn't really notice him at all, but and that's coming off a bye, right?
Yes.
I mean,
right.
So it's not a so I don't know. I mean, when you look at that defensive front, the one guy who's like feels like shows up more than anyway in terms of making splash plays is Redmond.
Yes.
I mean, he's the undrafted not a rookie now, but he was last year, the undrafted guy. I mean,
clear cut.
He's the guy that shows up more than anyone.
Yes.
And so I thought Hargrave and Jonathan Allen would be enforcers in there. I thought they'd be difference makers, particularly in, you know, against the run. Just has not materialized at all.
Well, and just kind of keeping this all going on the turnovers. They have as many turnovers in the last three games as the two of us combined. They don't have one, right? And you're gonna have to make plays at that level.
And that was their calling card last year.
Yes.
Like, look how many takeaways they came away with last year. And that's it. I mean, and that's every level of football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not creating turnovers, it's hard to win because odds are your offense is going to, you know.
Yep.
It's very, very rarely you just say see a clean game. So, if this defense is not creating turnovers, it means they're not causing the havoc and the confusion and all those and getting the pressure like we saw it do so often last year.
When you sign a guy in late August, you're not expecting Patrick Mahomes to come in. And Carson Wentz is like a lot of quarterbacks who, you know, once were great and then injuries derailed his career because he can have a stretch like he did at the end of the Browns game where he goes 9-9 for, you know, they drove it 80 yards against a very good defense. And he made some plays yesterday. But, man, he made some dumb plays, some dumb throws. And even on the Hockenson play, this will lead into that conversation, if he just makes a more accurate throw, there's no debate on does he hold on to it enough. Carson Wentz just wasn't good enough yesterday to win a football game.
No, the first half was a mess.
Yeah.
You know, even the first completion to Addison, I don't think replay showed it as you know, definitively as people that saw it in the stands. Like, that should have been a touchdown.
Yep.
The wild kind of throws, I think missed Addison on a short throw, basically missed him by 8 feet earlier. And then obviously just on the scramble where he just threw it up for a, you know, not the one after the pick six where he just throws it up for grabs. His decision-making was just, you know, was just not good.
How about the intentional grounding too? The intentional grounding was idiotic.
Well, remind me of the color commentator who I think is so good.
Greg Olson.
He's like, just throw it to him. He seemed apoplectic. He's like, just throw it to him there. You know, I thought he settled down and gave him a chance to got him in there. But it wasn't, you know, entirely his fault. But, you know, Jefferson should have had that one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He had a holding penalty on Brandell that caused one touchdown to come back. we talk about the Hawkinson one. I thought that should have been a touchdown, but the Wentz, the first half was a mess. It wasn't good enough. I think you still probably go back to him on a short week with only one practice this Thursday.
If JJ was the third quarterback yesterday, Chipper, how can he be your number one quarterback? How can he start on Thursday? Doesn't seem possible.
If it was a regular game Sunday, I would say yes, but since it's a short week, I think you probably go back to Wentz.
Yeah. Let's get to a couple things you alluded to. So we'll start Hawkinson. I think the way the game should be called, that is a touch, the way it should be called. But we've watched that play now for about a decade, the way they call it. And when we talked about it at the start, I mentioned the infamous way we all remember is the Dez Bryant catch in Lambeau, where honestly it seems like he goes and gets a hot dog. And finally, the ball touches the ground, and he's placing it down, and it moves just a little bit, and it's an incompletion. I don't like the rule, but if you say you have to catch it through the ground, in the air catches it, initially catches it, but when they have that angle from, like, the opposite end zone, it does move. And it's later, and I think they should change the way they officiate it, but the way they call it to me, I think that's definitely an incompletion.
Yeah, I mean, it moved, but it drives me crazy sometimes the way this thing's analyzed. I remember when I covered Childress, he always had the thing. You remember this thing you said? Because this was when it first started really micro-analyzing this.
Yeah.
He always subscribed to the three drunks at a bar.
That's right.
Go to a bar and find three drunks and ask them, was that a catch or not a catch?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it. I watch it with a gal, and she goes, catch, catch. I go, hold on, we need some more replay. And I go,
that's right.
I go, wait, this is going to take about 10 minutes, but it's not going to be a catch. She's like, and she goes, Michelle goes, should it be a catch? I go, 100% it should be a catch, but the way they officiate this, it's nonsense. And on Brandel, if clearly when he knocks the guy's hands down, that's not a hold, but when you see the opposite sideline, he initially just grabs his right shoulder. He does. And it's not for a long time, but when it's that obvious of a grip, I think you got to call it. I do. Again, it's another one I don't love. But then let's get to the run stuff with KOC, and let's pause, get to other things.
Okay.
You know, that's a prime situation where they're down there tight. It's second and one, and I know he gives quarterbacks the leeway to audible. And all of a sudden you're looking up, and there's JJ one-on-one. And so I think that's defendable. But, man, the next two plays, you don't. And obviously you get the hold. And then finally they start the third quarter, and Mason's running great. He's done this to us a number of times. We're off season.
Yeah.
We're going to change. I'm going to run more. But when it really gets down to it, he is who he is.
Well, was it the opener where they got down there close and did they fumble down there or whatever the situation was? And I remember saying at the time, I can't remember the exact scenario, but we're like, isn't it why they went out and got Jordan Mason and these offensive linemen so they could have an opportunity to run the ball down there?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the offensive line is different now than what we thought it was going to be, but I understand it was on second and third and fourth and one.
Yep.
They threw the ball. And, they got some unfortunate outcomes there, but you're right. It's his natural inclination is to trust the passing game in those situations, and he still hasn't come around to where, and I don't know if that's because of the injuries on the offensive line and what was happening, you know, at center, or just a combination of that and who he is. He's going to lean on the passing game in those situations where I think a lot of us are screaming, run the ball.
Kind of reminds me of Flip, when Flip just loved having 8,000 plays and thinking, I can just play chess. And every time we're on the plane, he'd be talking about, like, Flip, just give Garnett the ball and get everybody out of the way and just let him do it. Oh, it's more complicated than that. I go, I get it. But sometimes you got the second or the best player in the game, give him the bleeping ball. It's physical. It's not art. They're going to try to stop you. All right, let's pause and come back, and I'm going to ask Chip Scoggins this. On Friday night, did the greatest athletic performance in the history of Chip Scoggins' life take place? Because I think the answer is yes. What would you like me to talk about?
How do you get a good stretch these days?
How do I get a good stretch? Well, at home, I stretch a little bit. Then I come here and I sit in this chair too long.
You don't stretch well at home. I know you don't.
I probably don't stretch enough. I probably feel like I have 10 minutes. I'm good. I'm not. First of all, we all should stretch every day. We should find ways to do it. But outside of, you know, you got your Pilates reformer at home or you're committed to yoga, we're not doing it enough. So why not go to a great place in town that is omnipresent in this state? Stretch Lab. What is Stretch Lab? It's exactly what you would think. It's a place where people go through months and months and months of training to find out how they can work with a variety of people, how they would stretch Chip versus Dave versus me versus Justin Jefferson, all different. They have the technology to evaluate you. They're going to sit you down, and then they're going to give you, or you're going to pay, the stuff free, an opening 50-minute stretching session, okay? And then you're going to stand up, and you're going to feel, I'm a little bit taller. I maybe can touch my shins now when before I couldn't go past my knees. Or you're just a good athlete, and you feel better. You're 15. You're 45. You want to play the last couple rounds because, you know, fall golf is still out there. Who believes in fall more than me? Come on. Doesn't matter the age. Doesn't matter the challenges you're facing. Stretch Lab will help you out. StretchLab.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, before we go to Shohei, Dave does remind me when we're talking about this rule, Chip, how you have to catch the ball for 47 seconds. The Calvin Johnson one. Remember that one? Where
catches it,
turns, spins, puts the other hand down.
Check the menu for see
exactly.
For dinner.
Calls his wife, gets a massage, and then finally puts the ball down. Incomplete. It's just how they call it. Friday night, Shohei Ohtani, 6 innings, scoreless, 10 strikeouts, 3 home runs in the clinching game of the National League Championship Series against the team that was the best team in baseball. Is that the greatest individual performance of your lifetime?
I would think so, for sure. I'm trying to think of some great Michael Jordan performances in championship rounds.
Yep, sure.
But I was thinking about this the other day. Unfortunately, I was covering the Gopher game that night, so I didn't get to see the performance. I was following on Twitter as going. But if a player hit 3 home runs in a decisive NLCS or ALCS championship round, they would be celebrated the talk of the, you know, sporting world, right?
It would never be forgotten by that franchise.
If a player had a pitcher had 10 strikeouts and was dominant. Now, it wasn't a complete game or, you know, no hitter, nothing like that, but 10 strikeouts.
The guy is coming off his second Tommy John, right? So,
yeah. You know. But that would be the headline.
Yeah.
The same guy did both of those in one game. So, you know, that has to be, if not the greatest performance in Major League history, one of the two best. You know, I can imagine there's better when you think about dominating a championship game as a, both a hitter and a pitcher. It's just staggering to think that one guy can do that.
It is staggering. But then I saw two other games that I totally forgot about. So Rick Wise, he kind of bounced around baseball in the 60s and 70s. There was a game, and this is when pitchers are hitting still, when he goes against the Reds. By the way, yes, this is 1971, so that's Rose, Bench, you know, it's a pretty good team. He hits two home runs, struck out 12, and, wait for it, threw a no-hitter. Two homers, struck out 12, and a no-hitter against not quite all of the Big Red Machine, but pretty close.
Pretty close,
71. I mean, that's, think about that. That's amazing. And then Tony Cliniglier, I believe that's, I'm probably not getting it right.
Cliniglier,
okay. He threw a complete game in the same game when he hit, wait for it, not one, but two grand slams.
Wow.
Who are these people? I mean,
I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
That's that was before 71 is the year I was born, so I can't claim that one.
You weren't at that game?
I wasn't at that game. I don't remember it. But it is, you know, in modern baseball now to think that you have a guy who's doing both and just how, you know, how the pitching is now and how the, you know, just how different the game is. It would have been, I wish I could have seen it, but what a performance. Yeah. Goodness.
I was watching this 83-year-old singing pretty damn well. Okay. That was pretty damn good. Trust me.
Yeah, not bad.
Okay. Explain to me Friday night, because I'm at the show trying to pay attention to the show, but also on Twitter, and I'm looking at those two games, and I'm just going, what are the Gophers doing? How many times have we talked about what's going on with their offensive line and defensive line? They had 9 sacks, and as the game wore on, just physically manhandled Nebraska throughout the game.
Yeah, that was the thing to me. They won the trenches. Both offensive and defensive line won those matchups decisively. They just were the more physical team, the more aggressive team. We just hadn't seen that version of the Gophers this year. Other than a quarterback, I don't think they've been particularly consistent in any area. So they put it together. They absolutely took it to Nebraska in the second half, dictated everything, ran the ball effectively, which they have not done this year. Drake Lindsey was effective throwing the ball. Didn't throw for a lot of yards, but 16 to 20. But really, that game was won along the lines. Nebraska, their offensive line just got overwhelmed by their pass rush. So kudos to PJ for having his team ready. Chad, they've won 6 in a row against Nebraska and 7 of the last 8. I mean, he just absolutely dominated that matchup. So they were clearly the more physical team.
Yeah, I have, like probably everybody, if you've lived here long enough, some Nebraska fans. Every one of them sent me a text, basically the same thing. How is it possible we keep losing to the Gophers? So they're 3-1 in the conference. And you look, they had to stage a nice comeback to beat Rutgers. They had to stage a nice comeback to beat Purdue. And then this was just a butt-kicking. They're 5-2 overall. And now they get Iowa. Now, I didn't understand the point spread last week either, because at one point early, I think Nebraska was fair 1 point last week by 9. Now I'm seeing the Gophers favored by 8.5 or 7.5, and that seems way too high to me too. What are your thoughts on this Saturday?
Yeah, it's you know, Iowa's offense is still not good. The quarterback, it was heralded coming in there from FCS and just really hasn't done much. But it's, you know, it's a tough place to play. Iowa's offensive line is good, but this is one of those games where, unlike previous years where you thought, okay, Iowa's the better team and they're at home and they always figure out a way. If the Gophers can be that physical and tackle the way they did, remember, missed tackles were a huge problem the previous 3 weeks. They were really good tackling Friday night. So if they can do that and Lindsey can play the way he has and be, you know, the kind of steady, calming influence, he certainly could go down there and win. The point spread, it seems like a lot.
Let me look again because I just don't pay attention to it. Let me correct myself because I saw a couple people with it as the Gophers favored, and it made no sense to me. But I, you know, after I said it, I thought this still makes no sense. Now I'm seeing I was 100% wrong. It's the Hawkeyes as 8.5-point favorites over the Gophers.
Okay? That seems a lot to me.
That's still a lot, right? Now, and the over-under is 38.5. How could you have the over-under that, not like the two of us talk a lot of betting, but if the over-under is 38, how can anybody be favored by that much unless you're that much better than another team?
Yeah, it seems odd. I didn't expect the Gophers to be favored, but I didn't, that 8.5 or whatever for Iowa, that seems a lot to me, too. It feels like a field goal game to me. It'll come down to a field goal. So, but this is another one of those coin flip games to me where I don't think either team's like decisively better than the other. It's just, do you not turn the ball over? Can the Gophers run the ball? I still think when they run the ball effectively with Darius Taylor, that makes that offense that much harder to defend because Drake Lindsey is better than, not all on his shoulders. And so, that point spread seems awfully high to me.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than that. So you wouldn't be surprised.
You're off to that game?
I will not be there, unfortunately. I'd hope to, but I'm not going to make it.
Is everything okay?
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll just be. I'm here this weekend. Yeah.
Got it.
No issue. I'm not out of town. But just won't be there.
Yeah. Your club. Your Vols. I told you, my gal's kid goes to Tennessee, so it's like, okay, where's the Tennessee game? I go, well, trust me, it's visible Saturday night.
That's right.
It's visible.
I was in Des Moines with my son running the marathon the next day, and
I saw
it.
That.
When we threw the pick six 99-yard on the last play of the first half, it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, that's
when do you see that? A 99-yard pick six on the last play of a half. Just
that's
ridiculous.
That's crazy. One last thing. I had to Google his age. I can't believe Lane Kiffin is only 50. I feel like I've been talking about Lane Kiffin my entire life, and I'm 10 years older than him. Is he headed to Florida, do you think?
I don't know. He's a really good coach. Remember when he interviewed here, I think he was 31 when they gave it to Brewster. Does that math sound right? Yeah, I think he was 31. I think he's a dynamite coach, fun personality. If Florida would be smart to try to go get him, because I think he's a heck of a recruiter and a heck of a coach.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always.
All right, brother. See you.
Chip Scoggins. No Kings. That's where we're going next. Couple other political items. But tell me through a phone call or text what significantly happens off the No Kings protest. Or is the answer just it was a protest from a lot of people who have no interest in the direction of the country, have no interest in Donald Trump as the president, and it was a protest, but in a long-term lasting effect is not going to happen. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.